Let me ask you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Mr. Soundman, I want to make sure I got this right because I was puffing a while ago when I was praying. Is it too high? Is it too low? Is it good? All right, we'll try that. I don't want to puff everybody away with my peas or whatever was puffing a second ago. I've got enough issues as a preacher. I don't need to make it worse. Luke chapter 10. I want to look at this passage that we know well, and we use it to beat up busy people. I don't think that Jesus intended for us to use it to beat up busy people. So if you've described yourself in one way or another as a Martha from time to time, it's not my goal to beat you up this morning and tell you to slow down. Yet Jesus does offer us some ways to think about what's happening here between these two women. And it's good for all of us because there is a little bit of Martha in everybody. There's a little bit of Martha everywhere. And so we want to understand what's happening with these two that we learn from as we watch Jesus deal with Martha in particular. Let's look. Let me begin to read from verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. By the way, before I do that, I need to be polite and offer you greetings from your brothers and sisters at First Presbyterian Church. They bring you greetings this morning, so I'm glad to be here with you all, and thank you for the opportunity. And now, let's look at what's happening with Jesus and Mary and Martha. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer before we look at his word. Open our minds, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts. We need to hear from the shepherd this day. Feed your sheep, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think there are a couple of truths that we want to pull from this passage. And it's not, again, it's not a way to beat up busy people. Martha and Mary, as we understand from this exchange, John chapter 11 and 12, as we find Martha and Mary there, are very different people. Martha is the one who takes the lead. And we see her in John chapter 11 as Jesus draws near, as Jesus arrives at the home following Lazarus' death. She's the one that goes out to meet Jesus when he is still near the house. She's identified as the one who's busy serving dinner in John 12, right before Jesus' triumphal entry and right before the 6 days before the Passover. They host a dinner in Jesus' honor as he is coming through Bethany on his way to Jerusalem. It's Martha who's there identified as the one who's busy serving and hostessing the meal. Mary is the quieter one of these two sisters. She's the one who's more reflective. She's the one who, in John chapter 11, following Lazarus' death, stays in the house when Jesus comes, and she does so. She stays there until she hears that Jesus is asking for her. Then she goes to him. She's the one who takes advantage of the meal in John chapter 12 to demonstrate her love for Jesus in a different way, an extravagant way, a way that we still talk about as she's anointing his feet with that pure nard. Highly expensive. In fact, that was the time when Judas said, "What are you doing? You could sell this and give the money to the poor. Why are you doing this?" So Mary is the quieter, more reflective of the two, and has different ways in which she demonstrates her love for Jesus. Both these women trust Christ. Both these women love him. We can see that from what they both say to him in John chapter 11. They are both leaning on him, and they both see him as the Messiah sent from God. They both recognize him to be the one who's the resurrection and the life. But they give different expressions of that love. Again, Martha loves by serving. Martha's a doer. She loves by serving. Mary, in this chapter, or in this passage from Luke 10, loves Jesus by sitting at his feet, or demonstrates her love for Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening to his teaching. What's the problem here then? People can love Jesus in different ways because they're different people. What's the problem? Well, look at verse 40. Luke tells us, Martha is distracted with much serving. The word the word for distracted, the Greek word for distracted, is really a word that's translated pulled apart. Well, you can really feel that, can't you? You can feel that in this passage. You can think about times that you've been distracted. You can feel being pulled apart. What a great description. It's hard to do anything when you feel so pulled in different directions. She couldn't listen to Jesus because of the circumstances around her appeal to her default mode of operation, which is do something. That's Martha's default mode. Got to do something. There are people here. They've got to eat. They got to eat at some point. They got to eat as soon as I get it ready. Default mode of operation. Do something. With the number of people that she had there, of course, it was quite overwhelming. It's Jesus and his 12 disciples, and maybe there were some others. We know that there were others who traveled with Jesus from time to time. Her standard mode overcame her. Her standard mode of operating, do something, overcame her to the point that she lost patience with Mary and seemingly with Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I mean, she is really not talking to Mary about how frustrated she is with Mary. She's talking to Jesus about how frustrated she is with Mary. And she would seem to be at least somewhat frustrated with Jesus for not shooing Mary into the kitchen to help Martha. Martha's outraged. I don't think it's too much to say that Martha's outraged that Mary can sit there at Jesus' feet, oblivious to all that has to be done around there. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that. It's just hard, you know, when there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do right now, and all hands are not on deck. My wife comes unglued from time to time when she sees that all hands are not on deck and we've got a big thing to pull off here. Everybody's got a job to do, and everybody better be doing it. That's where Mary is. That's where Martha is. She's outraged. What do you mean sitting there? Well, I've got all this stuff that's got to happen. We've got all this stuff that's got to happen to get these people fed. J.C. Ryle, great churchman of the late 1800s. If you've got some J.C. Ryle on your shelf, you have a good bookshelf. If you don't have J.C. Ryle on your shelf, run out and find him. Go to the seminary bookstore. They've got some good J.C. Ryle. He warns us that the cares of this world are a snare to our souls, if we allow them to take up too much of our attention. I'm going to read you a long quote. Bear with me. The fault of Martha should be a warning to all of us if we desire to grow in grace and to enjoy soul prosperity. We must be aware of the cares of this world. Except we watch and pray, they will insensibly eat up our spirituality and bring leanness on our souls. It's not open sin or flagrant breaches of God's commandments alone which lead men to ruin. It is far more frequently an excessive attention to things in themselves lawful and the being distracted with much serving. It seems so right to provide for our own. It seems so proper to attend to the duties that accompany our stage in life. It's just here that our danger lies. Our families, our business, our daily callings, our household affairs, our daily coming and going in society at large, all may become snares to our hearts and may draw us away from God. The problem isn't the serving. The problem is that Martha has allowed the care of the moment to pull her apart, to distract her, so that suddenly her slow burn erupts into the open harshness we see between herself and Jesus and Mary, two people whom she loves very deeply. What Martha lacks is an understanding of the gospel priority right here. That's what Jesus is about to provide for her. She lacks an understanding of the gospel priority. So many times when you and I are pulled apart, it's because we lack an understanding of the gospel priority in our particular set of circumstances. She needs a category. She needs a way to think about what's happening around her. She needs a way to judge the moment. A way to judge the moment. A way to recognize value apart from her default operating procedure, which is do something. She needs a way to recognize what's really important here. And Jesus provides that corrective for her. Look how he begins to speak to her as he speaks to her in verse 41. Martha, Martha. Now Jesus doubles her name. That's a way to say, Martha, I love you so much. That's better than saying bless your heart. You know how we do with bless your heart. Bless your heart, I'm about to lay into you here. Martha, Martha is Jesus' way of saying, Martha, I love you so much. It's an intensity. He's indicating his deep love for her. He's not going to scold her. Let's get that. He does not scold her. And this doubling of her name is a telegraph. He's telegraphing. I'm not going to lay into you here. He's not going to scold her. I think as we think about Martha, we need to be sure that we don't scold her either. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, he says. Again, a little Greek translation, anxious, divided of mind. Well, that makes sense. That's a great translation, divided of mind. Our heart's not unified. What does the psalmist say? What does David say in the Psalms? Unify my heart to fear your name. Unify my heart. My heart's in fragments. My heart's in different pieces. My mind is divided. I'm all over the place. Martha, you're anxious. You're all over the place. You can get that. I can get that from the times that I've been in Martha's place. You've been in Martha's place. You get that divided mind and troubled or tossed about. You've been tossed about, not been able to stand in one place, not able to keep your balance. Go into a bouncy house and try to retrieve a three-year-old. You're going to be tossed about. You're not going to be able to stand there very long before you have to get out, or you're going to fall over, and unlike them, you're going to hurt yourself. So you know, what we do, we adults, we stand on the ground and we lean over and try to peer in and say, little Johnny, come on, it's time to go. We don't dare get in that bouncy house because we're going to be tossed around everywhere. There are 13 children jumping around in there, and there's nothing stable, and there's nothing solid. Tossed about, you're a divided mind, and you're tossed about like crazy. Jesus is pointing out to Martha that she's being drawn away. She's being drawn away from by things that are in the moment not that important. Are we going to eat? Yeah, we're going to eat. Is it important to eat? Yeah, it's pretty important to eat. In this moment, is it the most important thing? No. Is the meal going to happen? Yeah, the meal's going to happen. Does it have to happen at just this moment? Jesus is saying, not necessarily. Martha, you're drawn away by things that are in this moment not important. So many plates are spinning. So much has to be managed. Martha, you're missing the one thing necessary. And that's what distraction does to us, doesn't it? Distraction pulls us away from the one thing necessary. Distraction causes us to misjudge what's really important in this moment. It is important that they eat. They're going to be hungry. It is important for them to eat. In this moment, while Jesus is talking, is it the most important thing? Martha's distraction and her default mode, we've got to do something. We've got to get something laid out here. We've got to do it now, is working against her. And it's pulling her away from what is in this moment necessary. See, she's missing the teaching of Jesus. She wants so badly to do for him that she's missing what he's there to do for her. That's important. Let me say that again. She wants so badly to do for him. That's who Martha is. She's the one to do for people. She's the one to do for people. She's the one that gets a boatload of Christmas presents ready for everybody in the family and everybody in everybody else's family. She's the one that gets all the birthday presents lined up for the year. She's the one that gets everything done ahead of that's who she is. She's a doer. She wants to do for Jesus. She can outdo everybody. She wants to do for Jesus. She wants so badly to do for him that she's missing what he's there to do for her. Do we miss what Jesus is here to do for us? Remember who Jesus is. The one who came not to be served, but to serve. He wants to serve Martha. She wants so badly to serve him that she's missing his service to her. That's so important. That's so important. That's so important for us to take in and understand. That when we're in that do something mode and distracted from the one thing necessary, we miss what Jesus is here to do for us. And that's where Martha's losing right here. Not that she's in trouble and Jesus is scolding her. She's losing. She's missing. She's missing out. She's missing the fact that he is coming to serve her. She's allowing her anxieties about the bread she'll feed him to overwhelm the clear truth that she already knows. Man shall not live by bread alone, according to Moses in Deuteronomy 8, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Again, Ryle makes the point that we all enjoy good things and we work for good things, but good things that aren't necessary. He says, health and money and lands and rank and honors and prosperity are all well in their way, but they cannot be called necessary. Without them, thousands are happy in this world and reach glory in the world to come. The grace of God, which brings salvation, is the one thing necessary. Jesus is giving Martha and us a tool for managing ourselves. One thing is necessary. One necessary thing. Let it caution us. When we allow ourselves to be distracted and anxious about the many things in front of us to do day in and day out in this world, let it quicken us when we're tempted to look longingly at managing stuff that won't last. And that's exactly where Jesus takes Martha next. Look what he says in verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. It seems that if we could see the moment kind of laid out for us, like on a video, we'd see Jesus and his disciples enter the home of Martha that she shares with her sister Mary and with her brother Lazarus. Lazarus is not mentioned in this passage, but it's their home. And Jesus indicates in some way that he's got something to say. He wants to tell them something. He wants to teach them something. And our two sisters make two decisions. Mary stops everything. And she sits down at Jesus' feet to listen to what he has to say, to sit absorbed in his teaching. He has her complete attention. Nothing else matters. Martha can clang all the bowls and pots that she wants to. Jesus is talking. There's time for that later. Jesus is talking. He's got something to say to us. I want to hear it. We all need to hear it. See, that's a disciple's mindset. It's as though Mary forgot everything else but Jesus, who spoke as no one else had ever done. She's absorbed with Jesus. Martha doesn't love Jesus less. Martha loves Jesus just as much as Mary does, but she's a different person. As a different person with a different operating mode, she's busy. And Mary's absorbed with Jesus. It's as though Jesus is saying to Martha, right now is the moment for the good portion. There will come a time to eat and drink, and that time will come around again and then again. But the good portion, whose time is now, will never be taken away. Its good will last through eternity. That's important for us. Jesus is giving Martha a tool that she needs, a tool that you and I need. How do I manage myself? How do I not get distracted by all the plates that have to be spun and kept up with and all the things there are to do and all the things there are to accomplish in a day's time, in a week's time? How do I judge? How do I judge what's of value? Jesus is saying to her, Martha, there's a good portion. It's the portion that will last, which cannot be taken away. The bread's got to be consumed again and again and again. The wine's got to be drunk again and again and again. Here's a portion that I'm giving her, that I'm offering to you, that will never be taken away. Jesus is giving us a standard to help us judge what's really important for us. Is it so important that it's got to be done right now? Or sometimes, can it wait? Are you and I willing to mark out those times when everything else stops and we listen to Jesus as he speaks to us, as he teaches us through his word? Are we willing in those times when we see him and when we recognize him for what they are? Are we willing in those times to run the risk that good things may go undone? That important work might be put off a bit. That something might be a tad late just so we can give ourselves for a time to the good portion which will not be taken away from us. That's what Jesus is calling for Martha to recognize. That's what he's calling for us to recognize. We live in the most distracted day that any generation of people has ever lived in. Most of us have got cell phones in our pockets. If they're not in our pockets, they're in our car. And we will not, many of us will not have the car in gear before we pick up that cell phone and see what we missed while we were sitting in here. Or pull it out of our pockets on our way to our car and look at what came in while we were sitting here this morning. We live in the most distracted time that any generation has ever lived in. We need a way to judge what's most important. I'm not beating up on cell phones. I think they're great. But we need a way to judge what's important. What's going to last? What's the thing that will not be taken away? And we've got to make that judgment every day, more than once. We don't miss. We can't miss. As Mary could not miss, Jesus is about to say something. Jesus is about to talk. This is important. And everything else can wait until Jesus is done. That's got to be our mode. Busy people can make that decision. This is not a sermon about don't be busy. It's not that sermon at all. Mary's just as busy as Martha is. But she's recognizing something here that Martha's got to learn. There's a time to put everything aside and just be absorbed with Jesus. And to take in everything he's saying. Then we can get up and do around all we need to get people fed. What's the one thing needful? What's the good portion that will not be taken away? It's what Jesus has for us. And I hope you and I carry that notion, that question, into everything we do this week. What's Jesus got for me? Have I heard from Jesus today? Have I laid everything aside to sit down and have conversation with Jesus today? Have I hid his word in my heart today so he can speak to me through it all day long? Have I thought about his truth today? Have I prayed it through? We can be busy from the moment we hit the floor, can't we? Checking email, checking text messages, looking at the weather. It's not long before we forgot about Jesus. Yet Jesus says, look for the one portion, the portion that will not be taken away, the portion that matters forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is a portion that matters forever. That in a world of vanity and foolishness, in a world where things that don't really matter take center stage and take up so much time and so much attention, that you've talked to us about things that really do matter, that matter for eternity, that set our hearts on a path towards eternity. And they will never not matter. There'll be eternal truths that govern all the rest of eternity. Not just our entrance into it, but all the rest of it. Father, we thank you for that. Help us be people who judge the moment. Judge the moments to give to things that need to be done and that don't last. And to judge the things... Judge the moment for the things that have to be eternal things. Help us judge them right. And give us a hunger for the bread that comes from heaven. Thank you, our Father. We make our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.